WQAM.
Well, saying all that there, All Day Dan Day, thank you so much. Good morning to everybody. He has same crew in, including our man Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel. How you doing on these hours? Let's be honest. How you doing getting up early and back-to-back mornings this early?
As I get older, it's easier to get up. Life, you realize, works backward. I should be able to sleep in better now, but I don't. I wake up earlier and earlier.
I can't figure it all out, and some of my family's asked me to go back to a psychiatrist or a therapist, as we like to call them. And I got stuff on my mind every night. Like, I wake up at 1:30, 2 o'clock with a ton of stuff on my brain I'm thinking about, all over the place, too.
Is that why I don't know why I can't sleep. I guess I got stuff on my mind, too.
But even on the weekends, it's 4 in the morning, and I'm up. I'll have a cup of, you know, a pot of coffee before anybody else gets up. So I haven't been able to figure that. And then the other thing I was told, and it's true, is how many times you get up and pee during the night.
Yeah, well, that's at least one. That's at least one. It's once for me.
You hope it's one and you go right back to sleep. But I got guys in my life, and I'm not saying any names, getting up 2-3 times a night.
We're just telling where people are going to be heading, all you young guys. This is where you and. I'm jealous of people now can sleep until 8:30 in the morning. You know, I'm up at 6:15, and so your hours, which I get up about 4:45.
I just want to somehow clear my head and just clear out any guilt or anything that I need to do, and just let it go, family stuff, and just let it go. And just slide through the night with a nice little dream. Even if I'm chasing some beautiful girl that, you know, obviously when I wake up, it's just something that's nice and clean and without any drama in my brain.
How long do you sleep in a stretch? Like, if I happen to sleep 7 hours, I feel so good. Like without,
I never get 7 straight.
I rarely get that because that's what I remember, how good
so,
I feel.
I think I can get about, so last night, or some nights I'll go to bed 6:30 or 7 when I'm tired and I have long days. So I go to bed, but I'm wide awake before my partner goes to bed. I wake up, it's 11 o'clock, and she's still up watching TV in another room. Yeah, Dave,
it's tough getting old.
Serious stuff,
it's tough,
Dave.
Getting old,
very,
Joe.
Very, very serious stuff. And by the way, saying all that stuff, the big guys are all getting ready to go out for the first day of pads. The Dolphins going to put the pads on here, and we got a lot of Dolphin stuff. Mika Fitzpatrick, all right, so all you guys in the media, all you guys that need to ask all those questions, by the way, you were right. You said if you don't want to answer it, just say, hey, I'm not talking about Brian Flores. I really don't want to get into, you know, and he didn't get into two or three things.
Pittsburgh, the whole situation in Pittsburgh.
They don't want to talk about it.
Them dumping him. I that's what I thought. I was hoping he would talk a little bit about Pittsburgh because I was just curious. He seemed in good spirits and seemed say, okay, I'm turning the page and everything's good. But there's got to be a part of him that says, boy, I had some great years in Pittsburgh, and they just dumped me.
Well, he got a second contract. Every guy that plays, it's for the second contract. He got it. And now he's flirting potentially with, you know, and by the way, I love the way the Dolphins did this, to be fair on both sides, and that is show us that the last 2 years, we didn't get a chance to watch you a whole lot, but we can look at the stat sheet at the end of the year, and it says one pick in 2 years. We just want to see it. Like I said, made a great play that we haven't seen made out in on a football field ever in a couple years here with the play he made the other day that everybody's still talking about and how great the play was. But we have Jimmy Johnson going to join us at 6:15.
It's always fun to talk to Jimmy.
Oh, my God.
Down in the Keys,
never,
living the life
never a
now.
Bad time. So I got to tell you what else you did to me last night. Man, I'm going through, I don't know what I'm going through, I swear. And, you know, probably should share this privately with people. You got going on those damn bull sharks. So I read about bull sharks. There's some badass, that's a badass shark. First of all, they go any kind of water there is. There's fresh water, ocean water, shallow water. They are known to travel wherever, and it doesn't have to be very deep. If there's food, their ass is going.
We were a little, you know, Felix, Tony, and me. We're sitting at three guys in a canoe.
Yeah.
Back in the backcountry. So there's nobody there that's going to help you. And that shark kept coming by the boat, and it took Tony's, he had a big sail catfish, which evidently is good eating.
It must be.
It was.
The bull shark took it and said, there's nothing you can do about it.
It just went right down, snapped the line, and but it kept coming up by the boat. That was a little spooky, you know.
That's not a fun
But it was very coordinated shark. It never hit the canoe. Thank goodness. Never hit the canoe. But you were very aware not to put your hands in the water when you're either, you know, wash them off or to grab a fish or something like that. So
I always say this early in the morning. I know lobster season's on the way here and stuff, but to everybody out there that, and again, I know some guys I work with at NBC that go down the Keys all the time and like to go down and in the water and have no problem being around sharks. And I don't get it, man. Can you tell what kind of shark it is right away? Like, that's a bull shark.
I can't right away, but after the shark made a few runs at the canoe, you could tell it was a bull shark.
Yeah, Dave, I can't live through you and Jimmy.
Then you have to, in the distance, when we're paddling through these mangrove, mangrove canopies, you look ahead and there's a is that an alligator or a crocodile? Because there's a difference. Yeah. You don't want that alligator around you, but that's a crocodile.
Yeah.
Okay, we're okay. That's not going to be the aggressive one.
So I always thought the other one was more aggressive. Yeah, I've learned a lot, Dave. I'll tell you what, man, this is National Geographic in this place. No question about it. We've got a lot of other stuff. Trade deadline, Thursday, 6 p.m. Marlins catcher, as you just heard in the update from All Day Dan Day, Nick Fortes to Tampa Bay for a prospect, Matthew Etzel. And they got this Ramirez kid who's going to be power-hitting catcher, man. That was a no-brainer.
Yeah, Fortes has been that was Derek Jeter's one draft pick that made it to the pros, backup catcher.
Yeah.
And that was it. So, you know, the question is, who do they trade now? Are they going to trade some of that pitching that it's doing so well, and yet their careers have been some of injury, and what do they do with them? I'm curious what Bendick does now. I'm sure they trade him, right?
Sandy Alcantara is supposed to pitch today.
And if he could he had a great start last time.
I'm going to know a lot if he pitches today. Because they had said this might be the last time. I'm watching the last time he pitched at home. They said this might be his last. I mean, they weren't hiding from it. They go, this might be the last time he pitches in a Marlins uniform. And he pitched great in the last game. Had his best game of the year, actually. And so we'll find out tonight because they've got him. It's his night to pitch in St. Louis. He's up. And if he doesn't pitch, you're like, uh-oh, something must be close. Somebody might tap on the shoulder while you're warming up there in the outfield today.
He's had such a down year, frustrating year for him. If you're a team trading, would you want to see two good starts in a row and say, okay, maybe we'll take the chance now, or you're happy with one? So
That's a great question. That's a great question. By the way, they've got some other pitchers that they've got. Some young guys on that roster.
Well, Cabrera. The question is because
six innings last night, one earned run.
He's pitching really well.
Pitching great,
and he's a guy who's been injured a lot. And so do you.
That's another one.
You know,
they can't keep him healthy, and they'd like, all right, this is the best run he's had on the team. One of the reasons, by the way, they've been so successful and won what 20 of 29 games they've won here in recent time.
But Bendix is starting to make that turn where you think, maybe he knows what he's doing, because look at the team he's put together of nobodies and trades, and all of a sudden they're playing really well. And
yeah, I'm with you. No. So anyway, between now and Thursday afternoon, this thing will get real interesting. We're going to go to break here. Jimmy Johnson will join us. We'll talk some National Football League. A lot of good stories. By the way, not all just in the NFL. There's a hell of a story in college football, the guy that Jimmy knows really well. We'll talk to him about some of that stuff coming up in just a moment. But first, I got to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealer. Now, I know Jimmy Johnson loves the Corvettes. I know it. But I want to tell you about the SUV family. That's the family right now everybody's talking about, because our SUVs, Whether you need the big boys like a Suburban or a Tahoe with all the space you could ever want for that one last summer vacation before the kids get back to school, you guys want to travel together for a few days, or even leaving the state of Florida, head to North Carolina for the mountains, to a mid-sized SUV, you have so much space and a great look. Hey, listen, if it doesn't look good, you don't want to buy it. The all-new Equinox got everything you could ever want. So does the 2025 Traverse. Matter of fact, the electric Equinox SUV, not a bad way to go either. Boy, I'll tell you what, fantastic look, real affordable price, and plenty of room for family and friends and cargo. We got it all. It's never looked better. Convenient locations, 14 of them throughout South Florida for you to have a great experience, take some test drives. You know what? I never mentioned the power hitter, the Silverado trucks, but you know they're there. Our number one seller always. South Florida Chevy dealers have never looked better. Take a test drive, fall in love today, and get an outstanding offer that's going on right now. All right, welcome back. We got another Okeechobee. I just love that, starting with that Okeechobee. I got to figure out where that place is. Oh, Okeechobee. Nothing like it.
Let's get somebody from South Florida talking about our places down here, right?
When they're doing it from Texas, that's what happens. Hey, speaking of guy, one of our favorite guys, and it's weird that he's retired. He can't be completely retired. Jimmy Johnson. Officially retired from Fox Sports after a long, long career in the National Football League and college football. Jimmy, good morning. Thanks for being with us, bud. How you doing?
Joe, you and Dave, I'm doing good. You know, this retirement's terrible for your weight, though. For some reason, I keep looking at the scales and it keeps going up. I'm doing my workouts, but for some reason the weight's starting to gain a little bit. I'm going to have to go on a diet, I think.
So I always love this the best. After all the years we've been together, and Dave and I were talking about you yesterday and this morning again, I always love the fact that so many people in the NFL, and I'm guessing college football, still pick the phone up. And did it slow down now that you're retired, or are you still getting a lot of people wanting to come down and talk football with you?
I'm still getting a little bit of it. You know, I've done a lot, you know, on the phone, you know, with a bunch of them, you know, Dan Campbell and, you know, Matt LaFleur and some of the rest of them. And then, you know, actually, Mario Cristobal, he was down a week before last and busy with him a little bit. I still talk to him. It slowed down a little bit as far as the guys coming down to visit, though.
All right, Jimmy, big day in the Keys tomorrow, right? We got the two-day lobster season. Tell me you're going out. Tell me you're...
No, for the first time in quite some time, I'm not going to go out. I'm slowing down just a little bit. They're going to do some dredging in my marina, and so that's kind of hampered me a little bit on my boat. So I'm not going to lobster this year.
Now, with some of your spots then, okay?
Yeah. How about some of those spots, Jimmy?
What do you mean? We don't have spots. We just go out there looking.
Yeah, right. Those people in the Keys guard their spots like they're lost treasure down there.
Yeah, don't go around that. That's mine. Hey, Jimmy, we've got so many different stores. I got to tell you, by far, the thing that I've been wrong about a lot through the last 35 years, but Bill Belichick, going back to coach in North Carolina, I was like, there's no way, after everything he's done in his career in the NFL in his 70s, would want to go back to the new world of college football with the NIL and transfer portal and how much you're going to pay me and one-year free agents, basically. Did it surprise you a little bit, or did you see it coming?
It did surprise me. Actually, Bill and Jordan were, you know, they were down here right after, you know, he left New England, and then we talked about it. I said, you know, this college football with the NIL and the transfer portal, it's a absolute nightmare. And he said, you know, pro football is not that easy either. And I think the experience that he had with Bob Kraft, you know, they're at the very end. I think that kind of soured him a little bit. But anyway, yeah, I told him, I said, hey, you'll be the best coach team in all of college football. But, you know, that's not the key to winning in college football. The key in winning in college football is recruiting the best players. And the one thing that has surprised me, he has worked his rear end off recruiting players and bringing them in. Now, Lombardi, his general manager, has helped him a lot, but, you know, Bill has thrown himself totally into that recruiting and getting players. So I think he's going to do a good job.
They're going to be the Colorado of this season.
Everybody
will want to watch them this year. Speaking of the team everybody talks about in the NFL, is your old team, the Cowboys, and Jerry Jones making headlines, Micah Parsons, that deal. Owner getting in the middle of all that.
Jerry.
That's Jerry. As Jimmy knows. Jimmy knows.
You know, I was, before I went in the Ring of Honor, I went to the North, the Carolina game. And I was sitting up in the box with Jerry and Will McClay and Steven and all of them. And about that time, you know, Jerry was having a bunch of headlines about, different paternity suits, etc. and he looked at me, and he had a little smile, and Gene, you know, his wife, you know, of course, we've known each other, you know, when they were dating back in college, and, you know, Jerry had that little smile, a little grin. He said, you know what, I always find a way to keep the Cowboys in headlines.
That's his marketing take right there. That's hilarious. That is
well,
something
that's
else.
True. That's what he's doing with Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
It's amazing. They haven't been to an NFC championship game in 25,
since
30
your guys
years,
left.
Whatever it is. And yet they're still the most popular team in football. And, you know, the television ratings are through the roof. And plus the tickets to watch them play are, you know, through the roof. You know, so he keeps them in headlines and people keep watching because, you know, they see the excitement. And, you know, all the Cowboy fans are always saying, hey, this is our year. And, of course, all the Cowboy haters are saying they're not going to do anything.
Jimmy, you know, down here, you can't help if you turn your TV on the two and the Tyreek Hill story that's popped up here over the last couple weeks. And Tua said, you know, he said he was out and he was done after the season, and you got to be accountable and you got to build relationships back up. And all the talk about the players, you know, holding Tyreek accountable, like you're back, but you got to show us you want to be here. How do you handle that? And what do you think, as a guy that's been through it all from high maintenance, you've seen it all as a coach.
You know, Joe, I wouldn't make a whole lot about it. In fact, I wouldn't even talk about it. I mean, those players are professionals. You know, they have great pride in what they do. They're going to work hard. You know, they're going to want to perform. I don't put a whole lot of stock in that. You know, some of the comments made, hey, you know, a lot of players, especially in the heat of the moment, you know, especially after a disappointing season, you know, they're going to make comments. I think you just move on from it. You know, don't worry about that. And just go out there and play and be a professional. Like I said, as a coach, I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock in that.
The culture. We've talked more. Well, certain, but the culture. And by the way, for every sport, it's not just down here. Everybody's talking about building the culture. And Joe, what do you think? And what was the culture like? And then I hear, what was Jimmy Johnson's culture like? And I say, well, listen, I know you treat players differently. Jimmy's one of the first coach to ever come out and say the better you are, the you get treated a lot different than the guy that's a backup or the guy that's at the end of the roster. And I just go, was culture ever something you talked about or felt was important?
You know, Joe, I think culture is important. And, you know, people, you know, ask me, well, you know, how did Dan Campbell change the culture of Detroit? Detroit was a laughingstock of the entire NFL for years. And I said, I'll tell you how he changed the culture. He went in there and all of a sudden they became a physical, hardworking, you know, kind of the blue collar type of football team. You know, by working hard and being physical, they overcome so many things. And I never worried about our teams, you know, having the culture because we worked them so hard, you know, that they had the will to win on the weekends, you know, whether or not it be in college or in professional football. That's how you build culture, is hard work and being a physical football team. Those teams, you know, they don't have to worry about some of these petty things.
All right, Jimmy, you repeated as champs in Dallas. Kansas City, I think, was the only team since. And now Philadelphia is everybody's pick to repeat this year. What are they going to go through? I know you know Jeff Luria tried to hire you way back when. You know that organization a little, but what are they going to go through this year?
Well, you know, of course, you know, they've got so many high-profile players that, you worry about complacency. But I think because they are so talented, Howie Roseman has done a tremendous job of bringing in talent. And they are so talented that I think they can overcome that. Plus, they are a physical team. I mean, you look at them, you know, they run the football with Barkley. They're as physical as anybody in the league, and they have that type of offensive line to be physical. And then, you know, defensively, of course, I've always been a big fan of Vic Fangio. I don't know what happened here at Miami, but he really does a great job with their defense. So I think that they're still going to be the team to compete with.
The biggest story maybe is this Aaron Rodgers story, and I was thinking about you. Old Terry Bradshaw had, you know, Terry had to get his 2 cents in on the whole thing of chewing on bark and the whole deal. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers and how this Pittsburgh Steelers thing, they went all in with a trade and getting Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback?
Yeah, well, I talked to Terry about it yesterday, and I told him, you know, he didn't watch the interview. I said, I watched every minute of the interview. And really, Aaron Rodgers was so complimentary of Terry. I mean, he ended up, talking about how great Terry was, and he doesn't really know they don't know each other that well. And I talked to head of Fox yesterday. We were talking about another project that I'm going to be involved in. And I said, you know, it'd be great for Terry to sit down with Aaron Rodgers because Fox has got the Steeler game, I think, the second week of the season. And so, yeah, I think the two of them need to get together. But Aaron said, hey, you know, he may end up liking me. We may be in the plane. And we can look at the moon and chew some bark together.
Right. Yeah. I thought he did too, man. I was like, all right, Aaron Rodgers, you know, showing a lot of respect to Terry. I'm with you. I thought it was all good.
You know, Aaron Rodgers, he is a smart football player. He's a smart individual, very intelligent, went to Cal. And so,
wait a second. Joe went to Cal, Jimmy, too.
So. Yeah, don't say everybody's smart coming out there. That's a different level. Yeah.
Hey, Dave, let me take that back.
I went to a different Cal school, exactly.
but Rodgers can still throw the football, you know. But, you know, I don't know what kind of offensive line they have, you know, with the Steelers. I know Mike Tomlin does a great job of coaching. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they play this year. I think they'll be a decent football team. I don't know that they'll be a great team, but I think they'll be a decent football team.
You know, I always wonder, this is all you've been doing forever. You've been able to live where you want down in the Keys, a beautiful place. But I was saying, Jimmy, and you got your money's worth. I mean, nobody's gotten more out of this league and affiliated with the NFL as you have. How hard is it now? Have you thought about it about first year without going and jumping on a plane or getting all ready, putting makeup on from the Keys to do a show?
Well, yeah, I'm still going to be involved with Fox on a couple of different projects. But the big thing, and I told Eric yesterday, you know, I'm not going to be taking that regular trip out to L.A. And so you never can tell, you know, what I might do. But, you know, I've been trying to retire for 10 years. And you just won't let me.
College football coach, you made the Hall of Fame there. Pro football, made the Hall of Fame. Broadcasting, made the Hall of Fame. Are you going to make the Hall of Fame in retirement? It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like you're...
I don't know how he's going to do with this.
What's a weekend for you of football watching going to be right now?
Well, I told Rhonda, you know, yesterday, I am looking forward to Saturday and Sunday having three TVs in my little den, sitting there getting a big load of barbecue and a couple of beers And I said, you know, really, I will not leave that den, you know, from about 10 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night on Saturday and Sunday. And I don't want anybody to bother me because I don't like watching football with people. I want to be in there by myself. So I'm going to be sequestered in there for two solid days, you know, watching football. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you, too. And, hey, so I got to ask you just one follow-up on this college football thing. I don't know how guys are going to – how if you've been coaching for a while, now I get their great jobs, and college football's paying more than ever to coaches now, and I've watched, you know, head coaches, are a lot of them are getting $8, $9, $10 million a year. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that one-year free agent thing and, hey, I want my contract redone, I want to make more money or I'm going to go somewhere else – year to year, from spring to summer, that's a tough job, Jimmy. How would you do with that world today?
Joe, I would hate it. I hate what they're doing in college football with the NIL and, you know, with the transfer portal. And, you know, the teams have got the most money, you know, go out there and get, you know, pay these players that haven't ever played a down of college football, paying them all this money. I don't like it at all. And I don't know, you know, how you can make it an even playing field. You know, how is it an even playing field if you don't have the money to pay these players?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't like it. In fact, I wouldn't be doing it until they change the rules.
Yeah. I don't know how they're ever going to go back, though. I know how you go back. They're trying to put in some kind of little salary cap, and everybody's going to cheat on that salary cap. There's no way that's going to work.
And from one year to the next, you know, the team changes. You know,
that's right.
You lose some great players or you bring in some great players. You never know. You know, now you know that, you know, the Alabamas and the Ohio States and the Texas, you know, they're always going to be good because they got so much money. You know, but, you know, a lot of these other teams, you know, they can have one good year and the next year they'll be horrible because they lost all their players.
Yeah. Jimmy, it's always great getting caught up with you. We just need a little fix. That's all. You can get on your walk now and relax, and we'll get ready for preseason together.
Hey, Joe, you think if I walk about 10 miles, I might lose 13 pounds?
Not all at once, but you do that enough. Now, I don't know what you're eating during the day. Are you cheating a little bit during the day, or are you –
Oh, please. Guacamole, Mexican food, barbecue. Hey, Rhonda made a bunch of gumbo here day before yesterday, and it is absolutely great. And then I had some banana pudding after that, too.
Maybe 12 miles, Jimmy, 12 miles.
All right, that explains it. Hey, okay. Coach, enjoy your retirement. Thank you so much. Appreciate
good talking
it.
With y'all.
Okay. All right. Jimmy Johnson, join us from the Keys.
Doesn't sound like he's fully retired. That was always the question when he was retiring. Is they want him to come back? They're dragging him back.
I don't
want to
say
in.
It's going to be hard for him, but it's going to be hard. You just do it. It doesn't matter. I know he's 80 now, 81, but he's always going.
Yeah, he'll have a little project. It sounds like Fox will have him doing some stuff to keep him. On the other hand, imagine.
I can tell one thing he doesn't like, and that's flying out to L.A.
No, he doesn't like the travel. He really didn't like the travel.
Yeah, I get it. You know, first thing I looked at this year, 5 night games. You know, on the road or home, doesn't matter. You're getting home late and getting up early, you know, for the same thing. All right, we got to go to break here. Want to thank Jimmy for joining us. Down from the Keys, man, always great to talk to him a little bit about talking to Bradshaw and. He's got Belichick down there with him with the young girlfriend and hanging out. I wanted to ask him, how'd that go over with you?
I wasn't even going to bring that up, but he brought up Jordan came and visited. But that was last year. Belichick comes frequently in the offseason. Didn't sound like he came this year. He's probably a little busy recruiting.
Yeah, probably down here trying to get in the South Florida market a little bit. Hey, protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. It is hurricane season. You never know when the big boy's going to come this way. We've been lucky the last few years. We have been very lucky. But, hey, there's one thing you can do. Chev, the CEO over there, always says, Joe, there's one thing people can do is protect your home. You can't control the storms, but you can protect your home. And we would like to do it for everybody in South Florida. Loctite Impact is good, man. You got an old leaky roof? Replace your old roof now and pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. You can save big on legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows as low as $3 per window per month installed. So you're starting to look around, you want to get it done, and you're going to want to know more about it and what it's going to take and how long and all those things. They got a great staff over there to help and answer all your questions. All you have to do is visit LoctiteImpact.com, LoctiteImpact.com, or you can call 954-500-LOCK. They cover all of South Florida. Quality work, whether it's the roofing part or the Impact windows and doors, you'll love the work that Loctite Impact will do for you. Hey, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Johnson for... I was going to say getting up early, but I think he gets
he's
up
early.
Yeah, he's up early. And
he's playing bridge on his computer, probably already played a couple hands of that.
Yeah, and he
plays people around the world on you know, high level.
He's doing
bridge.
That big walk.
Now he's on his walk.
The big walk. So we've got a lot of stuff. Dave Hyde with us from the Sun Sentinel. All Day Dan Day also with us. Jamie back there working, back in here today with us. And a lot of stuff going on. Finn's first day in pads today, and I'll tell you what, to me, man, all of a sudden all the focus is on this wide receiver, this cornerback position. Everything is going to be about the corners you have. Come to find out, from what these guys said when they spoke, they didn't have a lot of offers out there. They were glad to get another offer to keep playing. I was shocked to read that, and for different reasons, both guys, you know, were one was not picked up, one was released and let go so he could become a free agent. But and so now it's kind of wide open. You know, I think those guys that joined the team, I give them because of experience a better chance to get jobs. I watched Jack Jones up close on Saturday, his first day with the Dolphins, and he moves really, really well. I get it. I mean, I get he's had some interceptions. He started a lot of games last year. But this is third team in 4 years now. New England, Las Vegas, and now Miami. And everybody's talked about, and he's talked about, some of his stuff away from football. You know, football's the hard part.
Football's the easy part for a lot of these guys. It's the off season.
Yeah, it's
all
it's
that
incredible
downtime. And but the fact that these guys were – look, teams are starting to lose cornerbacks. Arizona's lost two in the offseason now. And so the market, you know, people are starting to pick – teams are starting to pick up guys. And the Dolphins, I mean, they're desperate at cornerback, right? I mean, we can make all we want about Mike Hilton and Jock Jones coming in and how good they got experience. But they were on the street for a reason, and that is – either they couldn't come to terms with somebody or they're not good. The bottom line is they're not good enough to merit the contract either they wanted. So we'll see. You don't know. This is like a tryout camp at cornerback. And both spots.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to show everybody they can still play. I agree with you. Hilton and Jack Jones and all the other guys. It looks like Cater, I don't know how long he's going to be out. It looks like the news was good overall.
It wasn't that worst case scenario where you say, ACL.
I don't expect him back this week,
right?
But they're going to give him plenty of time to get back to 100%. But hey, all the rest of those guys, Storm Duck and Kendall Sheffield and Cornell Armstrong and Ethan Bonner and Cam Smith and Jason Marshall, guy they drafted. Honestly, I'd kind of like to be in Jason Marshall of everybody's.
For making the team? Absolutely. Because they're going to give
him. Hey, man, go out and play. You got nothing to lose because we drafted you, and we're going to give you every chance. You made a good play. And you know what sounds crazy, but I don't read into, like, guys throwing interceptions in practice. I just want to say that.
Correct.
A lot of our writers do. A lot of our writers are all over quarterback number two is throwing more interceptions than quarterback number three. And listen, man, you guys can put any kind of spin you want on it. Quinn Ewers is not beating out Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by my brethren for, you know, I get it. Okay, Quinn Ewers looking good. You can say that.
Good.
You
That's
can
great.
Say that. But let's not take it to the next step that boy, Zach Wilson might be his job.
Yeah.
And no, that ain't going to happen.
So I feel like, maybe if you disagree, let me know. Zach Wilson, his whole image from the Jets has kind of followed him here, from BYU to the thing about, you know, somebody said, I don't know how much he cares about football. I go, where'd that come from? What do you mean? Because he's from BYU? Like, of course he cares. You think he wanted to go to New York and be a failure? Like, oh, this is fun. I'm just out here. Like, he wants to be good. He's here because he wants to get his career going again. And he's got lots of talent. He does have, Dave, you've seen him all throw in practice. He could throw it. I've said to everybody, he probably has physically the most tools of everybody out there. Which
His issue is the same as Darnold when he left the Jets and Geno Smith when he left the Jets. It's confidence. And he knows it. He talked about, you know, he had to be reminded of the things he could do because – he didn't say because of what happened in New York, but that's obvious. And he wanted to come to a team that wanted him. That was the number one thing for him, that Mike McDaniel and Chris Greer wanted him to come here.
Early, too. That wasn't – I mean, they didn't mess around on that one. They went, hey, that's our guy. We've zoned in on him. I'm sure they, you know, talked to Denver a lot once they realized Denver wasn't going to get him back and got into that whole situation. But – This cornerback position, hell, I can't remember anything like this at that position.
Not at an impact position where, you know, you say, okay, what are the positions you need to have somebody at? And, you know, on defense, obviously pass rushing and cornerback. And those, and you know, the Parcells line, you can never have enough offensive tackles or cornerbacks on your roster. And we're talking just starters, but you get to midseason and they lose a couple guys for a game, and where are they going to be at?
You're going to lose guys.
Yeah.
You're at some point, you're going to be looking, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer on injuries. You know, I'm not doing a spot here for Baptist Health right now, but they're going to be 10, 12. They're going to be double-digit guys that are on IR. That's just your roster kind of goes from 53, and you start adding everybody up on the practice squad and the IR list, and there's a lot of guys. It looks like a college roster.
The surprise to me going back to the draft is they didn't use more of those mid-rounds. They got out of the mid-rounds. They didn't get a cornerback or two. Now, like you said, they got a fifth-rounder, and he's interesting because he's big. And we'll see how he, you know, mid-season, how's he going to be? Really, that's what you're looking at for somebody like that. Can he help us this year?
Well, when they made that move, because, you know, one of the criticisms was like, okay, so you moved up to get the guard you want and a guy who obviously, when they moved up to 37 to get Savanaya, you said he's starting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was like, he's coming in, he's starting day one. And then on top of that, Eichenberg's injured, and so he was coming in, and that's his job. It didn't matter what the situation was. He was going to be the guy, but you gave up a lot of spots in there in between to grab. I don't know. Somebody said 12 or 13 corners went.
But they still had some other draft, you know, the fourth round. They still had some other picks that they just got out of.
They did.
To trade to next year. And, look, maybe those are all smart moves. They'll turn out. But it did leave the question, boy, couldn't they have gotten a mid-round cornerback to help them this year?
Well, so that I don't know, and I'm looking forward to watching this thing up close over the next 3 to 4 weeks and practices, because every one of those guys, when they go into meetings, whether you're just because Jack Jones is there and Mike Hilton's there, those guys, hey, I'm playing aggressive. I probably take a few chances because I'm thinking about making plays. And making plays on the ball is how you get, right? It's not, hey, you drop back and guy catches the ball in front of you 7 times in a row for completions. They're looking for guys to make plays. Get their hand on the ball, bat them away, good tight coverage where the guy, you know, can't complete a pass, or the ultimate, and that's intercept it. You're looking for playmakers.
You're going against Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, maybe a lot of these repetitions too. So you're not going to – it'll be a good test for these guys to see who they are.
Because there's not much more you can do now. You've grabbed a couple of veterans. I mean, there's still a few out there, but the last thing you want to do is just keep bringing in. At some point, you're just going to have to say, let's go. We talked about this yesterday. All right, let's go with some of the guys that have been here on our practice squad, on our 53-man roster. Let's put them out there if we have to. They're going to get picked on. As soon as you put young guys out there, the guarantee in life is the coordinator is telling the quarterback, we're going after that guy. That's the matchup we like the most right there. Bam.
Oh, in the middle of a game, if someone goes out, immediately that's the guy they're going to pick on. You know, they know who's coming in. And so if you start a game with, to me, they're desperate for Kader Kohou to, you know.
Oh, he's a key guy to get back.
You know, he's got
to
come back.
You want him back for the Indy game and ready to go for sure. Yeah, that will be, that's going to be a big one. So, this cornerback position, it's, five or six guys, special teams guy.
Tyreek, were you surprised Jimmy said don't even pay attention? A guy say stuff after losses that's, he just said that wasn't a big deal what Tyreek said and did. I was a little surprised by that.
You know what? Tyreek, I said, I tell you this a few days ago, I said, going to have 7 catches, 140 or 50 yards in the opener with a win. And everything will go, all right, he's...
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, it'll be quickly but forgotten.
Saying all the right things.
He has.
Signed autographs forever yesterday. He's working and aware of everything. I said this from the start. I wouldn't have got rid of him either. And there was a time when everybody was mad at him. Everybody. Like, that dude.
Well, I said to get rid of him. I said,
well, you weren't the only one.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo felt the same way. It was a lot of guys, and I go, I ain't getting rid of them. Those guys are hard to find. I'll put up with. I'll put like they're you're good.
But he, as you said, he started saying all the right things at some point this offseason and doing all the right things. And Jalen Ramsey never must have turned that corner because they were happy to get rid of they made it a priority. They traded 2 good players, Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith, for 1 good player, you hope.
Well, let me ask you. I thought about this. Let's just put Jalen Ramsey in Tyreek's position right now. You see him doing the stuff that we've seen in the offseason? Hey, I got to be better. I got to do this better.
No, he didn't. That's
no
what I'm saying.
Ramsey's
yeah,
doing
he, there
any
was
of that
none
stuff.
Of that. There was none of that.
I think we've learned a lot. And
so they made their choice. Okay, we're going to get rid of Ramsey. And Tyreek's, you know, back on the wagon and working and saying all the right things, so we're going to keep him. So I get that.
There are a lot of great players in the National Football League, and Jalen Ramsey's one of those guys. He's only going to respect somebody that he thinks and looks at as his equal or better. Those are only guys that can come up to him and talk. I just think he don't want to hear from anybody else. I think the Mike Tomlin thing will work for now.
There's a strong personality
strong
coming
personality
in.
Strong personality come in, and he respects
but
the organization.
The Dolphins should have known that. I mean, you look at Ramsey in Jacksonville. You look at Ramsey with the Rams. He's been the same person throughout his whole career. And to get a season and a half and spend $52 million in a third round, you go down the list of issues. So, you know, that was a top priority, the fact that they took such a hit on that trade, and they're happy with it.
Well, listen, Dave, we've got the 7 o'clock hour coming up here, man. Time is flying here. The Dolphins back on the football field today in pads. In pads and the trade deadline for Major League Baseball. Thursday, 6 o'clock, and the Marlins have already made one move. We'll get you caught up on everything coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. And Sandy Alcantara, by the way, supposed to be the starting pitcher tonight. Does that happen? Well, with this trade deadline, a lot of people say if he's getting traded, he ain't pitching tonight. No way you got a deal done and go, hey, let's try to sneak another 6 innings out of this guy. Hey, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Oh, my gosh. So you need a mortgage and you need it fast. You got things you want to get to. You're out this weekend. You're shopping around. But you want to get approved real quickly. This is what has made Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage so successful for so long, more than 35 years. The man has no life. He's always working, including Saturday and Sunday. He does go 7 days a week. Whether you're a first-time home buyer, he's going to get you the best rates. He's going to get you approved and you get going on that paperwork, get you qualified quickly so You can get back in the game to get that first home you really want to get down here in South Florida. Self-employed, you've been declined by the banks. Michael Kotze's got a great program for you, too. And to a lot of folks out there that are 62 or older, and you've lived in the same home for a lot of time, you got a lot of equity in your home, you paid it off or almost all of it off, sitting there with all that money, and you could really use it. If you're 62 or older, you qualify for a reverse mortgage, and it's one of Michael Kotze's specialties. Now, when I say that, it's about getting you a lot of money. It's about getting this thing done for you quickly. So whatever it is, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is going to be there to get it done, whatever it is that you need. Call or text them, 561-441-2730. 35 years in the business right here in South Florida, MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Daily without notice, he's an equal housing lender.